Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. So welcome back to my channel. Sorry for scribbling something as we started. And in this video, I want to explore some of the similarities and dissimilarities between Indian and Irish nationalism. Obviously, Ireland, my birthplace, my homeland, and India, where I spent a few months as an adolescent. Some of them will scintillated me, the most populous nation in the world, the coming superpower. Well, I'm a nationalist from both Ireland and India. Collaborated and admire each other, consulted with each other in the late 19th century into the early 20th century, and there's several striking parallels between them. Obviously, they're both within the British Empire at the time, and in both cases, Irish and Indian nationalism started out as chiefly constitutional movements aiming at autonomy within the British Empire. However, it was the maximalist militant wing that ended up being dominant. Other things are, of course, Ireland was only politically united through its connection with Great Britain. India had been united, disunited, was finally put back together again by the British Raj. Although perhaps ironically, that's also what helped lead to partition. But in both the cases of Ireland and India, the country split from the empire totally and did not remain a realm. So an Irish Republic was officially inaugurated on Easter Monday, 1949, whereas an Indian Republic was proclaimed on the 26th of January, 1950. And in both cases, partition accompanied independence. In both cases, independence came shortly after a world war. Both nations invented tricolours with the same three colours. Admittedly, in Ireland, Thomas Francis Marr, he modelled it on the French tricolour, so they're vertical bars, whereas in India, they're horizontal. The flags have even been mistaken for each other. Obviously, there's India's chakra wheel in the middle, a 16-spoke wheel, which is very different. So some individuals were involved in both the administration of Ireland and India, like civil servants, soldiers, sailors, and so forth. Irishmen went to India. Very few Indians came to Ireland. And obviously, people from Great Britain went to either. So Lord Cornwallis, he was Viceroy of Ireland during the 1798 Rising, which he quelled. And he was latterly Governor General of India. I think I'm right in saying he's the only one who died on post, and he served in the office twice, which again, I think is unique. However, the similarities between Hindustan and Hibernia must not be over-egged. There are, of course, many major dissimilarities between their countries, the two countries, and their respective relationships with Great Britain, which was the metropole in relation to India, whereas a sister kingdom for a long time in relation to us. So one of the most obvious factors is geography. In Ireland, we're part of the British Isles, and the closest point of Great Britain to Ireland is only 9 miles across the North Channel from County Antrim to Argyll, whereas India is 4,000 miles away from Great Britain. Ireland, we're visible from Great Britain. By contrast, no Briton had ever set foot in India until the late 16th century, when some Christian missionary went thither. Indeed, in the Ice Age, there was no Irish Sea, so the sea level was very low because of the frozen water. So Ireland, Great Britain, we were the same island. So most blatantly, people of Ireland were the kith and kin of the people of Great Britain, much though many Irish nationalists seek to de-emphasize this or even deny the incontrovertible historical truth. So Irish people, until very recent times, have been virtually all white Christians, like the people of Great Britain. Virtually every Irishman and Irishwoman has at least some Welsh, Scots, or English blood. And many people in Wales, Scotland, or England have some Irish stock. Whereas Indians and White Britons are very different phenotypes. Therefore, one can usually tell it at a glance if someone is Indian or British. I know they're British Indians these days, but I'm talking about the ethnicity, not the nationality. It wasn't until the late 20th century that there were significant numbers of Britons of Indian descent. Whereas an Irishman was visually indistinguishable from a Welshman, Scotsman, or Englishman. We're cousins, I mean, often literally. So the political connections between Ireland and Great Britain, they go back to the Dark Ages. And there were kingdoms that spanned the Irish Sea from, you know, prehistoric times, probably. And so it was often faster and safer to travel by sea than by land. So Irish nationalists claim that Ireland, we began our political link with England and Wales only 1169, but that is a fallacy. But 1169 was the Cambro-Norman lord called Strongbow, who's the Earl of Pembroke, Pembroke being a town in Great Britain, when he sailed across the Irish Sea and landed in Ireland to intervene in an Irish civil war O'Rourke, defeating Rory O'Connor, the Prince of Breffni. McMurrah, that was his, Dermot McMurrah, or Diarmuid, if you're, you know, really echt Irish. Anyway, it's a fallacy to say that we had no connection with our eastern neighbour prior to that. Moreover, on New Year's Day, the Act of Union took effect, which is to say that we were absorbed into the United Kingdom. Therefore, the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland was born. In Ireland, we were represented in the Parliament of the United Kingdom, indeed produced Prime Ministers thereof. India was never represented in the Parliament of Westminster, and no one ever suggested that India ought to undergo absorption into the domestic British state, because India was too gigantic, too distant, and just too alien for the United Kingdom to ever contemplate doing that. So India's political connection to Great Britain started only after the foundation of the Honourable East India Company on New Year's Eve 1600. It was only later and very, very gradually that the East India Company got indirect control over even some regions of India. Right, I'm going to have to go now. Hello, Hal.